Thank you. Oh, well, you can all leave now. Thank you so much, Lisa. Absolutely, it's a joy to be here, but also, what a joy. Oh, I'm Betty Ann Zetz. Hi. Oh, my God. I'd like everybody from London and from Peru to stand up, and let's give them a big hand. They came all the way from London, England, to see. And I want to thank my Tradition 5 group, Ala Team. She was fabulous. I could sit down now and we could do the raffle. You know, she's fabulous, absolutely. And I really want to thank all the past chairmen that are still alive. I was telling Larcy and Kathy that. Thank God I was never chairman. Oh, sorry. But I am humbled to be here. My Tradition 5 group in Woodland Hills has babysitting. Yes, thank you. Preteen, Alateen, newcomers meeting, and then the big meeting. And we also have hybrid. So please join us anytime Friday night. And if you're in the area, make sure that you call me. I'll give you my calling card. Call me, and I'll meet you there at the meeting, or else we'll go for a light dinner. Maybe. But it's inflation. Also, I'd like to really thank all the, not only the past chairman here, but when I came here the first time, I met a lady named Betty Knoll that was from Pasadena up in Reno, and she was getting a divorce from an alcoholic pharmacist. And this is really funny because I was big and pregnant with my twins, and it was craziness. And she told me about this convention, and it was like the second year of this convention. And I just moved out from Texas, and so... she said, come down and stay with me. And I was big and pregnant. And I'll never forget Carol Thornton. Oh, my God. She made me crazy. But anyway, I remember so well that I came down and everybody was happy. And I'm pregnant walking around in the convention and at the park. I'll never forget that place. That was such a wonderful place. And you know what? Everybody was happy. And everybody was saying, oh, you're pregnant. Well, 9 months. But anyway, we had the best time, the really best time, and that's when we moved to California, that Bob and I, that's when I decided and then to be able to get a sponsor here and to become part of this convention for many, many years since then. And I really appreciate Lisa and all this committee. You've done a wonderful job, I think. But anyway, no, they've done a wonderful job, absolutely. This is my third time speaking at AFG, and this is going to be the last, so don't worry about it. Another thing I would like to really thank, and I'd like to be humbly thankful for, is our Tradition 5 Al-Anon Parent Focus Meeting. And I would like all the parents that are here to please stand if you still have an alcoholic or an addict that's still out there suffering. And I want to give you absolutely the biggest hand in the world because you're here to give us hope. These are the parents that raise our future alcoholics and addicts, you know, for AA. There is hope. My daughter Amy, that twin, she is sober and clean for the last 4 years. And that's a miracle, because Kathy and Larcine and all the people here, Bernie and Janie, I'll never forget it. They really absolutely gave me hope for my daughter. And I never gave up on my daughter. I gave up on giving her money, the letter to the alcoholic. You know, I had to do some things that I really didn't want to do. And I think back now of my life, these last, you know, five generations of being here in Al-Anon, and of the absolute humility that I had when I came here. I was humiliated. I was not a happy camper. I had just thrown Bob off on the lawn in Reno, covered him up with leaves. It was October. And he was drunk, and I was pissed. And, you know, we do all those things, like I wore my Fredericks of Hollywood outfit, you know, because I thought that would bring him home after the restaurant. Well, brought him to the wrong house one night. So I went next door to the wrong house, and I said, "What the hell are you doing over here?" And he looked at me, and he goes, "What the hell are you doing in this house?" And but anyway, you know, all those insane, crazy things we do in step two. You know, restored to sanity means to be restored to sane thinking. And so when my first meeting, Joanna, who, God bless her, is still alive in Reno, she had this little saying that I put on my Al-Anon card, my little fellowship card, and it says, "We the unwilling, led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long, we now attempt the impossible with nothing." I had nothing. Nothing. I didn't even have a bank account, you know. In 74, women didn't have credit cards or bank accounts. That's how old I am. I don't have any now either. The hell with it. But each one of you that are sitting at this table today and paid this money and thing to registration to be here, it's going to be the same as you always will be, you know, from now on. It'll never be the same. And the people next to you, you hold hands, and we do that, you know, for the Lord's Prayer or now the Serenity Prayer or we under, or I don't know, but anyway, all of that stuff. But let me tell you something, Al-Anon was simple, very, very simple when I came in. And thank God I came in because I was humiliated by my actions, but I thought I was humiliated by Bob's actions, you know, because we owned this 5-star restaurant, now it's gone up to 13 stars, my girls tell me. And, you know, today is one of those days that I make amends to my older daughters, you know, because they went through alcoholism with me. They went through Al-Anonism. They loved the alcoholic, but they sure in the hell thought I was crazy. And they were right. They were absolutely right. And over the years of trying to make amends and not having them hold me hostage and thing, you know, I came to the point and thing a number of years ago where I could admit my wrongs and I could admit my lying and my cheating and my stealing from my children, stealing their lives, you know, even as adults, even in the program. You know, we're all recovering. We never, you know, we never get better, we get well. And I had to look in that deep well and take an inventory of my life with my older children. And you know, I have 5 children, I don't know why. And but I know why today. I know why today that we're all here. It's because we love an alcoholic or we have someone that's an addict or, you know, our fellowship has really grown into a fellowship, a worldwide fellowship. And like I said, all these people that are here from London and from England and from Scotland that are coming in for the Catalina conference next week, which I'm not supposed to announce. And I don't care. I got 50 years. I don't care. Yes, I do care. But, you know, there's some things that we do outside of Al-Anon for all of us and they that are together in Al-Anon that has absolutely created the greatest spiritual movement of the 20th century. And that came in 2000 when Time Magazine put us into Time Magazine and said it was the greatest spiritual movement of the 20th century, the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon. You know, they have a lot of outside, you know, literature, and you know, I love outside literature. I read everything, you know. I'm reading something right now about the women, or whatever you call it, from Vietnam, because that's what our Blueprint for Progress tells us. I had the first Blueprint for Progress, I'll never forget it, and they had all these questions, so I'd ask the questions, but you have to answer the questions, and my sponsor, Shirley, was sitting there smoking a cigarette and waiting for me. And I did it fast, though. I answered, yes, no, I don't know, question mark. You know. What the hell? Why are you asking me this? You know, it's him. You know. Why? You know, why? I'm going to start a podcast about why. Why is this happening? But I love our literature. You know why? Because when I was with Lois in 1981, I'll tell you what, something that was very clear. I went to the World Service office in New York, and which was so cool. And Bob and I went to, also, we were asked to go to, we went to the A World office, And Bob Pearson asked us and then to go to Saturday night for the birthday for Bill Wilson's birthday. And Bill Wilson is the founder, one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for all you young people, read how AA comes of age. These alcoholics that are here today, raise your hands. If you're dual members, raise your hands. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, if you weren't here, and the women here, in Alcoholics Anonymous, my daughter would never have lived to see this day. We went to that trustees, they had a trustees banquet for Bill Wilson's birthday, and Bob and I went there. I had to change clothes. We were going to go to the theater. I had to give all my theater passes away to, what's her name, in Al-Anon office, you know, Kathy. She was the head of the forum. She did the forum. She was the editor. Anyway, I gave them all our tickets. We went to this, and here we are with all the trustees, and here I am today with you. We walk beside each other. We walk beside each other. We bring someone else to the meeting. We talk to the newcomers, and then thank God you talked to me because I was not nice. And thank God you love me in a very special way. But something happens that never happens before in any other 12-step program. Something happens here, what she talked about, unconditional love, you know. That talk was absolutely touched my heart. Can you believe this is the new Al-Anons? These are the new Al-Anons. And those Alateen sponsors, why don't you stand up and let's give you a hand. Thank you, thank you. They call you Amiuses, which nobody understands, but anyways, these are the sponsors that raise our children. And Judy raises our children in preteen, and Michelle and Patrick, all the people in Tradition 5 group that give their time for years in regards to our children so that they can progress on and then to be able to go to Alateen and to Al-Anon. It's a great fellowship. Our fellowship of Alateen in the Valley is the biggest in Southern California. I'm really proud of that. It's a family group. We also have AA before at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Friday night. So if the AAs want to come, please come, because guess what? They put up the chairs. But they use our podium. And now the podium's all dirty. I don't know what they were drinking. Coffee. Eating those donuts. But you know what? I heard ever since I came into the program, you know, that you'll never have to do this alone. And I remember being in Orange County and being with Bernie's wife and everybody. I loved the Orange County gals. They were very rich. And they had nice clothes. I was pissed. But and I'll never forget Karen Acklin and her husband John. I'll never forget the speakers that, you know, Bob and I heard for many, many years. And I'll never forget Winnie, you know, people that touched my heart and touched my mind. I remember one time she was speaking in Yucaipa. That's what I call it. It's Yucaipa. And I was I hope you don't mind me telling stories on that. I'll tell you some dirt too. But anyway, I found out, I lived at Lake Arrowhead at the time because Bob was out of a job, of course. And so we were living at Lake Arrowhead and he was miserable on a dry drunk and, you know, and I was going to meetings, thank God. And anyway, she was speaking at this place in Yucaipa, right? Anybody from Yucaipa? That's when you bat and die and you go to Yucaipa. No, I'm just giving you a bad time. Anyway, so Winnie came, and this meeting was in a brick, you know, those cement brick building or whatever. And she started talking, and she always had a cigarette, or she always wore a shirt and pants. And I just loved her. She was just amazing, you know. And I'm an Air Force brat, like Larsine, and so... Oh, she's an Army grad, aren't you? Yeah, Army. Oh, sorry. But anyway, she always talked about her husband and told these wonderful stories. But she talked so much in regards to the personal fellowship of the fellowship. The personal, you know, emotional things that we get involved with was not only sponsorship, but with, you know, with other people in our group, you know. I've been to jails, I've been to prisons, I've been to, you know, mental health facilities. No, they call them nut houses up in Reno. And I thought, that's not where I want to be, but I almost ended up there. But, you know, the thing of it is that there's no place that you can go where people understand what is going on in our families and all those secrets that she talked about today. All that, they call it trauma now. It was hell. And I understand what she went through because I went through the same thing too. And so it's not by a family member because this is our family. You know, my family, my parents and they were, my mother was a wonderful woman and she was killed when she was 26 years old carrying twin boys. And, you know, I don't like to talk about that a lot because of the fact, but I do. Because I have to remember where I came from. If we forget where we come from, we'll repeat the past always, you know. And that's what she talked about today, you know. The past is the past and we live in the present or we live in this day. Nothing's going to happen like this again. It's only the now. We live in the now. You know, it'll never happen like this again. You'll never be chairman again. Then she won't die. I know Susie's looking at me like, oh my God, Betty Ann, stop it. But you know, you don't ever forget your first meeting. You never forget and then your first sponsor, which I eventually got. You know, and I was living in Georgetown, right outside of Auburn, California. And I was big and pregnant with my kids. And I tell you, I had kidnapped my older daughters from my ex-husband, which was the wrong thing to do, girls and guys. Don't do that. Whenever I see that on TV, somebody kidnapped their kids, you know, for custody, I go, forget it. Just give them back, you know. You'll be happier. And it'll be cheaper. But you know, all those things that we did, you know, that we had to look at in our fourth step and our sixth step and seventh step, like our shortcomings, that's just because we come short of our ideal for ourselves. You know, that's what my sponsor taught me as you were smoking the cigarette. But I want to tell you a story about this sponsor because Bob and I lived in Georgetown, which is a little dinky town that has one pub, one bar, two bars, I mean, and a hotel. And another house, anyway, or bordello. Remember Woman to Woman, the bordello upstairs? I got nuts with that place being up there with Sally. But anyway, you know, what was really interesting, we'd go into Auburn to go to meetings, and I got Bob sober, meanwhile, and I forced him to make a free decision, and thank God it worked. For about 15 months, and then all of a sudden we had our son, JR, and he showed up drunk at the house, and he just left a meeting. What happened here? No, he just left Tahoe, and he gambled all the money we didn't have, and some of his mother's, of course, and you know, their mothers are wonderful, you know. I really loved her in a very special way, too, Josephine. But I hated everybody. You know, and I took it out on everybody. And so, you know, when I came in here, my sponsor told me, Shirley, my late sponsor, she said, you can't hate everybody, Betty Ann. She said, you just, it's called dislike them. And then when I came to California, they have, you might not like all of us, but you'll love us in a special way. So what the hell is that about? I'm gonna love that? No, I'm not gonna love my mother-in-law that way. And thank God for amends, right? Thank God for the list. She was on my list for a long time till she died. But no. No, I made amends to her before she died. I'm sorry. And you know, the grace of amends, I mean, I'm jumping all over the steps. I hope you understand, because it's a little bit part of my brain now. And this lady here is sitting like, oh, I have to go through with this. I paid all this money for this lunch. Smile. It's going to be over with soon. But One of the greatest gifts thing that my mother-in-law gave me is that she gave me her Christian values. You know, I'm a Catholic, but I became a Catholic after I married Bob by force. But anyway, my mother, I found out, was a Catholic and had me baptized when I was a baby up in northern Wisconsin at this little tiny one, you know, pew church, and because she was a Catholic. And when she never told my father, because of the fact is that they wouldn't have baptized me a Catholic. I never knew about it until after her death and after I got into Al-Anon and Bob got into AA. And, you know, that was the gift, because my father, now I remember when my mother was killed, you know, coming home from work with these, being pregnant with these twin boys. My dad went to the funeral home, and we lived at O'Hare when it was an Air Force base, so you can tell how old I am. But, you know, I remember the humiliation that my father had, because my father was an alcoholic, God bless his soul too. But anyway, my father had to go to the funeral home and identify my body, my mother's body, and there was a priest there, and the priest was drunk. And I'm not saying this in regards to the Catholic Church or priest or anything else, and what's been going on in regards to our faith, our religions, or our non-religion, or our atheists that are here today. How can you be an atheist in this crowd, let me tell you? But what happened is that the drunken priest told him, and he was excommunicated. But anyway, the drunken priest told my father he couldn't bury her because she was married outside of the church. Now that's, you know, 75 years ago or 80 years ago. So, I mean, you know, the thing of it is today we have priests in the program. We have monks in the program. We have, you know, our Jewish community. We have a community in Iraq, Afghanistan, throughout the world, the Far East, the Near East. Where can that happen? I remember Clancy told us one time he was in South Africa speaking in a meeting, and all the people of color had to walk into the back because the front people were giving him a bad, you know, giving all the people of color a bad time. He said, but when they were in a meeting, they were all together. There was no color. And that's what my mother-in-law told me. She said, Betty Ann, when my daughter became pregnant, and I have a biracial granddaughter, great-grandsons, and she said, God does not see color, and especially in Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon. None of you gave us a bad time. I was never embarrassed to tell you that my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren were biracial. And, you know, that's the wonderful factor of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, you know. Lois Wilson told me, too. I said to her one time, we were visiting her up in Stepping Stones, I said, Lois, what would Bill think about AA today? I said, would he roll over in his grave? And she said, he'd be excited. This is great. So she goes, how many books do you have out in your car for me to sign? And because I wasn't going to have her sign, I had some humility, right? And I said, how do you know that? How do you know I have books in the trunk? And she said, bring them all in. And so I brought him in. I had 35 one-day-at-a-time books. Lois remembers. I had every book we could buy at that time, you know, in the 80s. And so she looked at Bob and she said, Bob, you want some tea? And Bob said, sure. You know, he's not going to tell her he's drinking coffee. And so Lois said to him, so funny. Lois looked at him and she goes, aren't you an alcoholic? And he goes, yes, I am. She goes, put on a pot of coffee. You know, little hunch. Anyway, I brought in the books, and she signed all the books for the people I sponsored. And then at the end, there was this Lois. We always called her Lois Forgets. And so Lois said, she said, okay, now who's this? I said, Lois. We call her Lois Forgets. We all have nicknames for people, like Red Toke Red, you know, in AA. And but anyway, so she signed the book. She goes, Lois remembers you. And she said, so will Betty Ann. And you know, God bless her, because of the fact that she knew, she automatically knew, instinctively knew what our fellowship was about. And it's about this. It's about being here today, you know, being with each other, you know, knowing that our kid is out there on the street. One of our parents just lost her daughter, was killed downtown Los Angeles last week. And guess who's going to be there for her? All of us. All of us are going to be there for her. for the memorial. And she'd been in the program 12, 13 years and finally let go of that girl. And that girl's living on the street. And guess what? Another mother friend of mine is here with her grandson. These grandmas, all of you grammys and grandpas, you know, that raise our grandchildren. God bless you. Because when Amy was out there and she was using since she was 13, 14 years old, and when she was out there using, you know, I'll never forget it. She was in AA for a little bit and she got pregnant with my grandson, Cole. And guess what? Al-Anon was there for us. My husband's group was there for us, the Pacific group. Everyone was there for us. They had no compunction in regards to that she wasn't married, that she was an unwed mother. And my other daughter and then had a child out of wedlock, and she went to the Queen of Angels, and an Al-Anon member got her in there into a single mother's, you know, facility. And guess who she met? I don't think the lady's here today, but she, one of our Spanish ladies, and it was really interesting. Her daughter was in the same room as my daughter, and they're both having their children. And every time I see her at AFG, you know, she has five grandchildren, and I only have one grandchild. But, you know, they started a little meeting in Queen of Angels. Started a little Alateen meeting, you know, that type of thing. SCAT is the most important thing for our kids, especially today. SCAT is here to stay. And we have to support SCAT. And we have to be able to be there for our kids, you know, because they are our future. Like the young people in our meeting, you know, we have a lot of young guys that spoke last night. I don't know if you're at the 5 o'clock meeting, were you? It was a great meeting, all from Tradition 5 group. Mimi's out there with the Alateens. I hope they're making her crazy. But, you know, no, but she, you know, took that on, you think, for this. And it's difficult. You know, it's very difficult now and on, especially with all the legalistic and all that. We never had a problem with it. You know, I remember after the baby passed, I remember going to the meeting. I had JR in one hand and Amy in the other hand. And I went into the meeting Wednesday night in Reno. And those old ladies with blue hair, in, you know, they just came up to me and said, "We'll take the babies today. And tonight," and they took the babies. And they allowed me to be able to have a meeting. And I remember crying in the meeting. They didn't care if I cried, you know. They didn't care if JR and Amy were there, they were little. And then my kid, you know, what's really the blessing is that I remember going to the second meeting and I was crying again. And I had the kids and I said, "I'm so afraid to go to sleep. I'm afraid Amy's gonna die, my other twin." And, that night after the meeting, about 10 o'clock, knock on the door, and there was two of these blue-haired ladies in their slippers and their bunny outfits or something like that, you know. And they said, we'll help you tonight and tomorrow night and the next night. And the fifth night, I said, "Would you guys go home?" But my children remember that. They remember what you've done for us and for our family. They have those memories, and it's instilled in them. My oldest daughter is in Al-Anon, been in Al-Anon the same time I have, you know, for many years. She went to Alateen and then to Al-Anon. And my husband, Bob, told them, he said, you just got to go to meetings till you want to go to meetings, you know, to Alateen. And, you know, I thank God for that. And I thank God for the fact is that every one of you here contribute to your meeting and that your home group. You have to give money. That's all there is to it. I'll tell you a story. I went to a meeting in Reno, and we had this crappy old car that Bob's aunt gave him. It was had holes in the window and no brakes, and it was snowing. I'm at the meeting in Reno at the Alano Club. No, it's called the Dryers Club. And Bob went to the meeting that was called Dryers Club. It was called Puke on the Shoes Group. AA was very, very bougie then. That's why I like Orange County. But anyway, Inland Empire's doing pretty damn good, you know. But anyway, so I went to the meeting, and I had a dollar, you know, because they say, and then the secretary, the treasurer, this old lady, she said, "If you need some, take some." And I saw that basket come around, and I went, And she said, "Because if you put in some, you're going to get 10 times back. I went, no kidding. I'm putting that in there, you know. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to go home to Bob and he's going to kill me, not bringing milk home. Milk was cheap then. Anyway, I got to the door and it was snowing, and that car, I should have immortalized that car. It had no brakes, nothing. I'm going in the snow, pulling the emergency brake and all. But anyway, I get home and I get to the door and Bob's at the door. I thought, oh, he's going to kill me. I didn't bring the milk. And he goes, you won't believe this, Betty Ann, but down at the restaurant, you know, what's his name? I said, oh, Ralph? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know, Ralph always, you know, you always bitch to me about cashing their checks. You know, they come up from Sacramento or San Francisco, his friends, and they cash checks. Then they go out and gamble, lose it all, never pay us back. So I kept track. And he said, hey, Ralph came by tonight, and guess what? He gave me a check for $500. I have been putting lots of money in the baskets for 50 years. And now they have Venmo, and I asked Mimi, our treasurer, I said, how many people are paying through Venmo? She goes, I don't know. They're in the meeting and on hybrid. I went, how are we going to get them to pay more? No. But you have to support your group, because if you support your group, you support all of us that are still suffering with alcoholism and addiction. You know, another great thing of having a sponsor, I'm going to say that about my sponsors. Do I have enough time? People are leaving. I guess they have to go to the bathroom after this. But I'm okay? That's it? Jeez. I better hurry up and get sober here. No, get sane. I need some more water. My table 7 gives me water. But anyway, so they do. They really do. We have no water up here, but iced tea. I had enough tea this morning that I was shaking. I was like, you know. In fact, Michelle, the gal I sponsor from Oceanside, she goes, I'll be nervous for you. Love, Michelle. I hate you. Thank you. Okay, 8 minutes. Do you want me to clean it up? Okay. No? Hey, I could go out. No, I won't. She can give me the look. All of you that are in the back, make sure next year you get in the front. All of you that are in the back, know that we love you more than anybody in the world. You know why? Because my sponsor always taught me to sit in front. Always go to your meeting, sit in front, own your chair, you know, so that you can greet people. She also told me you have to, you know, when you lead a meeting, you have to dress up nice. You got to wear a dress. And these girls know, Wear a dress and always look really nice and put makeup on, Betty Ann, comb your hair, you know, curl your hair over there, hello, okay. But anyway, so I did what she said. Sally told me that, and I did what she said. And so one time we were at AFG, and I was going to speak on a panel with Sally and Darlene and a couple of the other gals, and we were walking up the stairs, and Sally turned to me, and she said, Betty Ann, don't screw up. She said, just be yourself. No, she said, don't be yourself. See, that's unconditional love, you know. Don't swear. Sometimes. But I'm going to give you some little highlights, you know, of my life with Al-Anon. It is the best thing that we've ever had to be able to lead us into a spiritual place, to be able to look at outside people and to be able to help people on the outside. When I went to jail, when Amy went to jail, I remember Bob and I went to jail. It's humiliating. It's humiliating to go to jail or to go to a mental health hospital here in Los Angeles. Shana is going to save us all for our kids and our grandkids, I'll tell you, because of the fact that our mental health facilities for alcoholics and addicts living on the street is horrendous, absolutely horrendous. There's no excuse for it. But anyway, so we went to the jail, and I take literature. I didn't know you're not supposed to take literature. And everybody's in the waiting room, and I'm giving literature out and talking to people, and, you know, and all this. And they have their little kids there and all this, and they're going up to see their daughters or their sons or their husbands or whatever. Oh, my God, it was so fun. I just loved it. And the restrooms were horrible. But anyway... So we finally get upstairs, and they humiliate you. these cops do. Well, they don't mean to. I love cops, really. You know, my grandson's one. But anyway, they your license doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. You know, anyway, we finally get up in the elevator, and this woman's there speaking Spanish. She's got some little kids. I know hola and como está, whatever, and that's about it. But just the language of the heart. She talked about her daughter in Spanish. I said, oh, me too, my daughter. Great, you know. So we get up there, and I can remember seeing Amy walk in that orange jumpsuit, like Orange is the New Black. And she walks in front there, and they have this big plastic, well, you know what it's like. This big, it's glass. I think everybody knows what it's like. So she walks up, and this is what she said. And every mother, every father, everybody in this room, if you have a brother or sister in jail, she put her hand up on the glass and said, Mommy, Mommy, I'll never do this again. And that night I went to an AA meeting at Pacific Group. And I heard this girl come up there, thank God for you girls that are in AA. And I heard this young woman come up there and tell us a horrendous story about her life. And she said she did the same thing to her mother. But the gift of that meeting with Amy, the gift of that is it puts us in a humbling position to have compassion for the alcoholic and the addict. And it gives us the compassion for our Al-Anon members, the mothers and fathers, you know, the sisters and brothers. That's why our young people started Young People's Meeting. They go to Yucky Paw or Picky Paw, whatever it's called, you know. They carry the Al-Anon message, our young people do. You know, that's the grace of the program that brings you back to the reality of what this disease is, insanity, sobriety, or death, you know. And so I take that very, very seriously. When we came to the program, there was no detox, there was no treatment centers, there was nothing in Reno. And I can remember Bob and I went to the Paiute Reservation, you know. We had the ability to go out there, and they took an Al-Anon, which was very unusual, but they liked us. You know, AA's liked us because we were like Lois. We made coffee and had donuts and all that. But anyway, I got to go out to the Paiute Reservation when I was new in the program. Bob and I were new. And we saw what alcoholism does to this reservation. I found out through my daughter on that 21-3 or 23 or ancestry or whatever that we're part Indian. I had the grace of God, didn't know that until last year. And you know what? I felt for them, Lorena and her husband, that do the powwows. They go to the Indian, you know, conferences and things like that. All of you that do hospital institutions. I love hospital institutions with AAs. They're nuts. 2 minutes? Okay, goodbye. But anyway, you know, the fact of it is that we have the opportunity throughout the world today to be, because of Zoom and because of people like you in the back row, that pay this money, pay this registration, that come here throughout here to support this beautiful woman, this beautiful committee, and to support the past people, the past chairman. This is a very unusual talk for me. It's weird. But anyway, and I see other people here that are, you know, my heroes, and my, you know, they always say that stuff. But someday you're going to be up here. Someday you're going to be up here and be part of it. And the greatest gift of all is when my daughter went to prison. I didn't raise her to go to prison. But Bob and I, in the last 2 years of his life, because of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, my daughter got clean and sober the last 4 years. She got to spend 2 years with my husband before he died last year. Is that a grace? Is that a grace? I have beautiful women and men that I talk to all the time. They kind of think I'm overdoing it. But anyway, the women I sponsor that are here, the men that we work with in our group, you know, to see all of you, and all of your past people that don't know me, you'll never forget me. But but I want to thank everybody from our international Mo and all of you that have come here, and all of you that have been part of something that is bigger than all of us. And that is a God of our understanding. And it is, you know, workshops, it's conventions, conferences, being of service, you know, showing up early. My sponsor always told me, you show up early, get a seat, you know, you help somebody else get a cup of coffee, you always greet newcomers, and you give them your card. I'll be glad to give you my card. And has, dear God, that's what I'm going to, see, I told you I was nervous today. Oh, don't touch me. And, but all of you that are here today, just remember, this is a very special moment in time for you to hear Shana and to hear myself, tired of me, but to see what really happens in Al-Anon. We're all welcome and we're never alone. So I'm going to close with, dear God, help me to accept the seemingly bad as well as the good, which is necessary for my growth. God bless all of you.